Everybody to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. I got some good helpers to help us lead the music this morning. Let's all get favorite gospel songs and help them out and do number 206. Number 206. Good. Let's turn over and do number 33. 33.
Oh, what a wonderful day! It's the glory divine. Thankful for all of our song leaders today. Thankful, Brother Chris, for leading the songs. Thankful for the kids helping him. And we just are thankful for each and every one of you being here. Don't forget Brother Allen also. Thankful for Brother Allen playing the piano for us today. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see each and every one of you out today. We've got several visitors with us again today, and we are thankful for each and every one of you. We want you to just make yourself right at home with us today, is what we want you to do, and just come in and worship the Lord with us today in this service. And we're just so thankful for all of you being here today. I want to get into some quick announcements right here. Just as a reminder, the offering today is going towards our, our building fund to help pay down the debt of the church building. The entire thing will be going to that. I know most of you have already placed that in the offering box, and if you have, we thank you for that. But if you can feel it in your heart, put a little extra in there, is what I'll say, so we can get rid of that debt. And so that we can be able to put our money, we'll say, a little bit more towards what our mouth is as far as the worship of the Lord. And there's mission works out there that needs that help. There are our efforts that needs our help. So let's keep that in mind here in the coming weeks today. Next thing I want to bring up is our homecoming service will be next Sunday. And the special part about it is I will be preaching, but that's not special, is it? We'll have a potluck lunch after our regular services this coming Sunday. So y'all keep that in mind for this coming Sunday. And so keep that in mind. We'll have a good day of fellowship is what I hope we'll do. But we also want to remember that next Sunday is when time changes. That sneaks up on us, doesn't it? And we'll fall back. You get an extra hour of sleep. We lose a little bit of daylight in the afternoon, which that is very short now also, and will be shorter after next Sunday. So keep that in mind. And then our Joyful Hearts, that's our senior Sunday school class. They always meet once a month. They have a meal, and that will be not this Friday, but the next Friday on the 12th. And then the 13th, the next day on Saturday, as you can see, the next couple of weeks, we're busy as a church, which is a very good thing for us. But on the 13th at 6 p.m. that night, we're having a singing here. And so let's keep all of these things in mind. The Chuck Wagon Gang, which is a popular gospel group, will be singing for us. And everybody come out that possibly can. I know there's a lot of things busy as far as getting ready for Thanksgiving and getting ready for the Christmas holiday as it's coming up. So let's come out and let's worship the Lord here in that little bit of time. We need to worship Him every day, not just on Sunday. We need to worship Him every day. And so that's what I hope that we can do as here at Murfreesboro Church today. I have a thank you card, and I was asked to read. It says, there are certain people we thank in our prayers, and you are those people today. And this comes to say, may God bless you forever for all you so thoughtfully do. And this is to our church family, it says, thank you so much for the gifts, the donations, the visits, the calls, and most of all, the prayers for the loss of Chad's father, Kenneth Mehta. We could feel the effect of your prayers carrying us each step of the way. Words truly are not enough to convey our gratitude. And that's from Chad and Jenna Mehta on the loss of Brother Chad's father here a couple of weeks ago. We do want to continue to pray for them in our prayers today. And that's going to be one of the next things that we will be doing. We want to go into our regular worship today. And as we always do, we have a little bit of a time with our kids as far as a church, children's church is what we call it, of course. And Brother Sam is going to be doing that today. Brother Sam, if you'll come forward, All the kids, y'all come forward too.
Come on up. Is he participating too? All right. How are you doing, brother?
He's going to monitor you.
You're going to bring the word today. How are y'all doing? Good to see y'all. Come on up here. We got a good looking bunch. Got a great looking bunch. Y'all had a good week? Huh? No? Wake up down here. You awake? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. All right. I won't keep you too long because I know you're busy. I've checked your schedules. On the calendar, what is today's date? Okay. That's the day of the week. That's the Sabbath. Listen closely. What's the date? The number is it the October 31st. What coincides with October 31st? Halloween. It's also the Sabbath, but today it falls on. You're doing what? You're going to be Ariel.
I'm going to be a ballerina.
Okay, a ballerina. I can see that. Y'all are going trick-or-treating?
Yeah.
Really? You looking forward to it? Ben is? What's he going to be? He's going to be a policeman, ain't he? Yeah. Do you find that funny or okay? It's okay. All right. Do y'all know when trick-or-treating started in America? Y'all, it's way before my time, too. About the 1920s, I think. And originally, do you know why you say trick-or-treat? Do you know why that is? Wow, how that came about? Yeah, you're going to be Ariel. I know. But it, go ahead.
I think it's because sometimes people don't give you candy, and that's the trick.
Yeah. Right. That's the tradition. That's right. Thank you. Such that you're the treat? Now, wait just a minute. Who's coaching this girl over here? You're right. You're right, Landon. So what it is that, you know, we would ask you to give us a treat, some candy, and if you don't, we might play a little trick on you. You know, some type, and people used to think, well, we'll be mean. We'll knock their statues over in their lawn or do something or, you know, toilet paper, you know. I've heard of that, too. That's been really mean. That's not right, is it? You know, throwing toilet paper in people's trees. I mean, I don't know if y'all have ever seen that. Don't get any ideas. I'm not advocating that. Don't you do that tonight. All right. And so for one, I want you to be safe, okay? And when I was little, if you can imagine, you know, 100,000 years ago when I was little, we didn't get candy. We got like oranges and stuff. We got real food, you know. People didn't have a lot of candy like they had, but we got real food. So I hope y'all have a good time on that. But I want to bring in a little biblical reverence about trick or treat. And especially when it comes to salvation. Y'all have heard us preach it. Y'all have heard us talk about it. It's mentioned a lot in the pulpit, and I appreciate that. And so the treat is you get that from Jesus. That's salvation. Okay? That's the best treat that any of you could ever get when you're saved. But the trick part is not that you would play a trick on somebody. I don't want somebody to trick you. I don't want you to be tricked in you to thinking that you're saved. Now, your greatest adversary and all our greatest adversary is the devil. You know, the devil. He's mean. And anybody that's lost, he wants you to stay lost. He will trick you to thinking that you're okay. He will trick you into thinking that you don't need to be saved. Okay? And not only will the devil do that, but sometimes if you go to somebody that doesn't believe like we do, they might trick you into thinking that it's a lot easier to be saved. They might think you that just go up there and get baptized. We have a baptistry here, right? That you can get saved by going that. No, if you're not saved when you go in that baptism doesn't mean a thing. It doesn't mean anything. Baptism doesn't save us. And most of all, I don't want you to trick yourself. I don't want you to tell yourself that, well, I'm not a sinner. I'm not I don't do bad things. The Bible says that all have sinned. So when y'all get to the point that y'all know that you're lost, what I want you to do is pray your own prayer to be saved, and God will save you. When you've prayed in the right manner, when you've repented toward God and have believed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as the Bible tells us, then you will be saved. All right? And don't let the devil trick you. Stop that. Don't let the devil trick you into thinking that you don't need to be saved. I love all of you. I hope y'all have a good, safe trick-or-treat evening. And be safe. All right, you can go clock back in and go to work now.
Thank you, Brother Sam. Appreciate Brother Sam doing the children's church this morning. And when he does do it from time to time, I'm thankful for that. It's a little bit of a break. Plus, he puts a different spin on it than I do. And many times, I think most time he's better than I am at this. But we need to keep in mind that tricking part. The devil is out there to trick those that are unsaved. And he wants to trick them into staying with him. Now, that's the big thing there. And I'm thankful for Brother Sam bringing that out this morning today in this service. We are glad to see each and every one of you here today. We appreciate all of our visitors, as I said earlier. We also have some people, and I'm not going to mention names, that we haven't got to see in a while. And we're thankful for you being here today, too. Now, with that, we want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. Does anybody have a prayer request this morning? Well, we usually have someone to read the prayer request that was made earlier in the day. Brother Rowan, who did we have today? Colton? Okay. Come on, Brother Colton. Appreciate Colton doing this today. May I have to raise that up just a little bit for him.
Happy birthday to Ruth Green and happy anniversary to Rodney and Wendy Scott. The prayer request are pray for Sister Kelly's mom who is having surgery. Pray for Sister Cindy's mother. Pray for Sister Sandy's daughter, mother-in-law, who has been put on hospice. Pray for Kendra Angel that has cancer and her uncle who has been put on hospice with cancer. Continue to pray for Brother Sam's friend that has cancer. Pray for Connie, Sister Sandy, and Brother Dave's daughter. Pray for Taylor, who has blood clotting problems. Pray for Denise Dawson. Pray for the service today and Brother Hackett as he brings the message. And most importantly, pray that the lost will be saved. And some more prayer requests are pray for Becky's job interview and Sister Joan's sister-in-law.
Appreciate that very much this morning. Now, you've heard these prayer requests this morning. Does anybody else have a prayer request? Or there. Let's do... Okay. Let's do remember Brother Rod and his dad. Somebody else? Lord bless you. It's what we have to do. Lord, let's do remember this. Chris Brown, I believe it was. Somebody else? Let's keep all of these things in our prayers, but let's do remember the lost ones also, these that are not saved. Let's keep them on our hearts today. And let's ask the Lord to convict them today of their sin to where that they can be saved today. And that's something that I guess I try to put emphasis on from time to time, but I want us to put emphasis on it in our minds. They need to get saved today. I know from time to time we talk about they might not get home. Something may happen. They may get sick. And let me give you one quick example. Back about, I guess it would have been about 20 years ago now, we had a 15-year-old niece. Got up one morning. Thankfully, she was saved. But she got up one morning, stumbled all over the place. Couldn't figure out why. That afternoon, her friends had to help her on the bus. The next day, they carried her to the doctor that night. They put her in the hospital. And 24 hours later, she was in a coma. She died 1 year later. 15-year-old, now 16-year-old when she passed. But what I'm trying to tell you is we don't have that kind of a promise of a long period of time. And neither do these that are unsaved. They need to get ready. Thankfully, she had gotten saved, I believe it was about 2 or 3 years before that. But I want you to think about that. How quick something drastic can happen to young ones just like it does old ones. We think, well, yeah, some of us older ones, something can happen real quick and we could die. But it happens to the younger ones too. So let's keep that in mind. Somebody else have a prayer request on your heart. Brother Sonny. Lord bless. Let's do remember Brother Sonny's family as they're traveling back. Somebody else? Let's do remember Michaela in our prayers and her family. Somebody else? We want to go to the Lord in prayer today, and let's ask the Lord to come into our midst. I don't know about you, but I need the Lord's help today. I think every one of us do. And I've been trying to pray for you that you could worship the Lord today. And that's what I want us all to do, is just truly get in the Spirit and worship the Lord today in this service. Let's all go to the Lord in prayer. And as you pray, and I always say, make sure you pray. Don't just listen to the one that I call on. You pray. See, what I'm going to say is, see, you've got an opportunity. You've got a blessing right here to have an opportunity to talk to the Lord. Take advantage of that and pray yourself. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and I want everybody to pray in your own way. And if you want to pray out loud, that's fine. If you want to pray quietly, that's fine. If you just want to pray under your breath, that's fine. Just pray is what I want you to do today. As we go to the Lord in prayer, before we do, does anybody else have a prayer request on your heart? If not, we'll call on one to start our prayer. But everybody pray this morning. Brother Patrick, will you start our prayer, please?
Let's continue on singing the favorite gospel songs, number 52. Let's do Amazing Grace.
Thank you.
do 32.
Thank you, Brother Chris, Brother Allen, all those that's helped in the singing today. I appreciate each and every one of you today for singing. Singing sounded pretty today. I don't know how it sounds out there, but when you all pointed towards me, it helps. And I appreciate the good singing. Does anybody have a word on your heart this morning, word of testimony or anything? I want us to follow the Spirit of the Lord today. I want us to do that every service is what I want us to do. But it is needful today in this service too. So let's don't just relax and think, well, this is Sunday and we'll go through our service and go right on. However, I want us to we want to go through our service. But we want to give the Lord room today in this service is what we want to do. I'm going to take my reading lesson from Psalms 22 today. Psalms 22. And I've got a little frog right down in my throat. I told somebody earlier, the girls had a soccer game yesterday in the rain. Guess where Nana and Papa was watching from? In the rain. So I've got a little bit of something right there this morning. And so y'all be prayerful for us today and pray that the Lord will help us in this, that we can be clear of voice, but also clear in the Word today. I want this to be clear today. Starting our reading lesson with, as we said, Psalms 22, starting with verse 22. It says, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel. That's reading for our reading lesson, verse 22 and 23 today for our reading lesson. But what I want you to get out of this lesson today is two words that's going to come out of this reading lesson today for our thought. You're going to see in verse 22 where that he says, I will praise thee. And then it says similar in the second, in the 23rd verse, but it says also glorify him. And that's basically what this lesson in this message is going to be about today. Now, before Brother Bill gets to thinking about our discussion Wednesday, I already had this thought on my mind, and he was trying his best to get all over my message today. Sometimes Sunday school teachers does it, then Brother Bill does it sometimes too. But we got into a discussion about the Spirit of the Lord being in a service. And it just is something that is so needful in our services today. First of all, I want you to think about who God is. Just take a moment. Who is God to you? Next one. Think about Jesus. Think about what he did for you. Just a moment. He died for you, right? Would anybody else have done that for you? Would anybody else gave you a plan of salvation like God did? Now, think about that for a little bit. I don't usually like everybody to take a look outside, but for a moment here, bear your eyes out the window. Look out there. You see those leaves? We're in probably one of the most colorful times of the year. We get to see the artwork of God in the trees, in everything that's about us. And that's the artwork of God, is what that is. Now, back out of the windows here. Let's get back inside here. As you think about these things, do we not have a very awesome God? Amen. A very, very awesome God that made us. Take a look around you. Don't look at the ugly ones. Look at the ones that are pretty. In other words, look away from me. Look at how great a job that God did today. He's awesome. He is awesome today. And he is worthy of our praise. Now, one of the things that we are seeing today in a lot of church houses is a, we'll just call it an effort to squelch the Spirit of God, to choke him down, to make sure that there is no praise for God. When we think about these very things that we have talked about today, we should be willing to praise God. We ought to glorify his name. Now, like I said, there is an effort in church houses today to hold that down. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a lot of church buildings also where that's all it's about. It is just continual praise, continual worship, as they call it. But do they really worship the Lord? And that's what I want us to make sure that we do today. I'm not talking about one of these praise and worship church service where everybody's up here rocking around, just kind of waving around like that. I want you to get down deep into your heart today and truly worship the Lord. It's needful today. Now, you may like that other kind of service, and if you do, that's fine. But I want you to go deeper than just a visual thing. I want us to go down into the depths of our hearts because we have an awesome God. He is one to be praised in this day. And I want us to keep that in mind today, that it is needful for us to truly praise his name. What is praise, first of all? How many of you went to a ball game lately and you saw maybe your child, your grandchild, or one of your child's teammates do something really good in that game? Yesterday, Hannah almost scored a goal for the very first time. Missed it that much. Now, we was tickled that she got that close. But I can about guarantee you that if that ball had went in there, there's a little lady right down here, that would have cut a shine is what she would have done. Papa would have been calm as he could be. But the idea is what we did in that moment that she almost got it. We were saying, good job, Hannah. Way to go, Hannah. Good job. Do it again. What is praise? According to Webster, it is an expression of approval. It is to say or write good things. Praise is to express thanks to our love and respect of God. This word that we read here today, in this 22nd chapter of Hebrews, I went back to the original Hebrew meaning. According to Strong's dictionary, which is a Hebrew dictionary, it says to address in a loud tone, praise is a sacrifice of a heart. Now, you might not think about that in that way. Let me give you something else. Let's go back up first before I go any farther. Glory is the other word that I'm talking about today. Glory is a public praise of honor and fame. We like to build up people that have that do great things, don't we? We like to build up individuals who sports stars, music stars. We like to lift them up. We like to say, boy, I like their songs. I like what they do on the field. I love what they do on the court. Now, I said a minute ago, it is a sacrifice of the heart. I found this in my study yesterday, and this said it pretty well, I thought. How to manifest glory in this state. To manifest the power of the Holy Spirit and God's glory, you must step out of your comfort zone. Do any of you have a comfort zone? You know, those things that you just, that's where I'm comfortable at. I'm comfortable in speaking to the people around me. I'm comfortable talking about the things that are about me, the worldly things, you know. What we had for supper last night, what we had other day, what our service was. I'm comfortable in talking about those things. It says we must step out of our comfort zone and you must dare to do the impossible. How many of you ever testified and swore you'd never do it again? How many of you argued with the Lord the last time that you testified, the last time you glorified the Lord? How much arguing did you do with the Lord before that? That's why it's almost impossible. And that's why you have to get to a place to where that it's impossible, so that you can trust in Jesus Christ. Now we talk to the sinners and tell them that we should trust, they should trust the Lord. That's impossible to them when that they're lost and away from God. It's almost impossible to them in their minds for me to fully trust them with all of my heart, mind, soul, and body. You that have been saved today, when's the last time you fully trusted in the Lord? Heart, soul, body, and strength. When's the last time? I want you to think about that for a minute. Do you know when the last time was? If we want to see true praise of God, it's important for us to trust in Jesus Christ. We're trusting in Him. We're trusting in His Spirit to guide us, lead us, direct us in our praise today. Now, I haven't even got down to the place of what that praise would be today, but I want to finish this up. This is, excuse me. This is our faith, and it must be put to work, it says. We must promote unity in the body of Christ. That is the church. We are to shun the divisive activities. Now you might say, yeah, I understand that we're promoting the good that's in the church. We're promoting that and showing them off. What is this divisive activities? Well, that's those points that comes to our minds that says, I can't do it. I can't stand for the Lord. That divisive activity of that person's a hypocrite. That divisive activity that says, what will that person think if I praise God? I want you to think about that a minute. These are divisive activities, and they're all working up in here, is where they're at. They're just working in our minds to make us think that we can't do it, that we shouldn't do it even, is what we kind of have in our minds, that we shouldn't worship God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I want you to think about this a minute. If God in the Bible tells us to praise the Lord, God calls these people to write these things, and if He calls them to write in there, praise the Lord, why would He tell us not to praise Him? If He's not telling us that, who is? The devil? Or just us? I believe the devil gets into us a lot of times, and I don't believe he makes us do wrong, but he sure does give us a lot of ideas, is what he does. He does. He gives us a lot of ideas in our minds. And what I want you to think about today, it is good for us to praise the Lord. I want you to look, if you would, at the 92nd chapter of the book of Psalms this morning. The psalmist says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Notice the word thanks there. And you're talking about, you said, preacher, you was talking about glory, giving glory to God. You was talking about praising God. Is it a very simple thing today just to say thank you? How many, when your kids went out somewhere and somebody handed them something, did you teach them to say thank you? We do. We did. And my kids are doing their best to teach their kids to say thank you. When somebody hands them something, say thank you is the words out of Christian Heather Both. They say thank you. Now, if we're teaching our children to tell people thank you, is it not proper for us as God's people to say thank you? Am I saying thank you as far as to one another, but unto Him that provided those things? He said, it is good, a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It is a good thing to say thank you to God. Why should we say thank you for Him? What did He do for us? Everything is a good way of putting it. It is a good thing for us to say thank you for. I got up this morning. Thank you. I made a safe trip this morning. Thank you, Lord. It's nothing that we have done, is it? It's nothing that we have done as far as us being able to do anything in this world today. The very breath that we have is given by God today. Thank you. The very thoughts that we can have today was given the ability to us by God. Thank you. What should we think about as far as our life is concerned? Our spouses, we should say thank you. Should we say thank you for the children that God has given us? Thank you for that, dear God. We want to thank Him for everything that He does. Thank you, dear God, for the plan of salvation that you gave me. Thank you, dear God, for saving my soul. Thank you, dear God, for all of these things. Thank you, dear God, for a church to come into that we can worship and say thank you to. He goes on to say, and to sing praises unto thy name. When we sing, I know Brother Chris and Brother Brad both, he wants us to sing out of praise to Him. Now, I'm guessing every one of you, at some time or another, while you were singing, some of you probably don't sing. There's always a few in the crowd that does not sing, but inside of your heart, you are singing. You know, there's times I'll sit there, maybe my voice is bad and I don't sing alone, but I'll have that songbook and I'll be looking at those words, and in my mind, I'm singing those words. Now, backing up what I was going to say now, how many of you at some time or another, you've been singing a song and the Spirit got into you? And it was just blessing your soul. Now, how many of you has also took the other side of that? You sat there and you sung that song and you just said the words. Now, what was the difference in that? What was the difference in those two times? That's the extremes of singing and praise. Yes, it's good to go through the actions of saying the words. God likes it when we say thank you. God likes it when we glorify Him. But when He really enjoys it is when we sing actual praises unto Him, singing in the Spirit. Now, in the 14th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul gives us some instruction. Yeah, that's the chapter where there's so much controversy about, where that people take it today and they say, well, it's talking about an unknown tongue. I asked Sister Elizabeth, I said, what's your native tongue before she come in? She didn't know what I was up to, did you? She said, it's Spanish. If I asked her to say, praise the Lord today in Spanish, some of you would understand her. There'd be some of us that would not understand her. I'm one of them. But the thing about it is, just the fact that I told her to say it, I would know what she said. But the thing about it in that chapter, what he's telling us is to, if people of a Spanish nature, Spanish language, Portuguese language, whether it's French or whatever like that, to me that's unknown. The old joke was, I can understand anything as long as it's not Greek. If you tell me something that I don't know, it's Greek to me. That's the old saying. And that's what that unknown was. But going on, in that 14th chapter, he gets down there to a place. And what he tells us there, and let me turn over there right quickly so I can read it just exactly right. What he says in that 14th chapter, in the 15th verse, he says there that it is important in one thing. He said, when I pray, I want you to get that part, pray. when I pray with the Spirit. You see, what we're talking about today is a praise that's of the Spirit. He said, I will pray with understanding, is what he says. Now, I'm not going back to the unknown tongue part. If you want to know some more, we'll talk about it later. But the important part that I wanted to bring out here today is when I pray in the Spirit. He said, when I prophesy, that prophesy there is testifying, talking about what God has done, telling the glories that the Lord has done in our lives. He said, when I do that, I do it in the Spirit. He says, I do it in the Spirit. Now, some of you is probably looking, how do I know I'm in the Spirit? How do you know? Now, some people say you just know, and that's true. It is true. But the Bible tells us to try the spirits. It does tell us to do that. You see, there's a lot of people out there today, and I mentioned them earlier, and that's all the service is about, is just showing things as far as what they call the Spirit. And it's a show. And what I would call to your mind is the way that Jesus told us to pray. Enter into your closet is what he said. Now, I'm not saying enter into a closet of privacy. I'm talking about entering into a closet, just you and God, you and the Spirit, so that it's not about you. What Paul tells them there in that 14th chapter is for the edifying of the church. The lifting up of the church is what it's about. If we testify today, let me put it this way. If I get up here and I start to tell you about my salvation, and I'm doing it only for the purpose of lifting me up, is that in the Spirit? If I am up here testifying for the purpose of lifting up God's name, is that going to be in the Spirit? It should be. If I'm telling it to try to help you that are sitting around here and listening to what I'm saying, if I am saying that in a way that you would be lifted up, your spirit is built up by that very action, is that in the Spirit? It should be. If it's glorifying God, it's in the Spirit. Now, what I'm saying is, I have seen individuals who basically, they testified just to be seen. Just to be seen. And it really was no trouble to tell. They talked about what they did. They talked about how God basically hadn't done what they had done for God. I'll give you one quick one. And years ago, the church was considering me for pastor. And I didn't know it at the time. There's a fella come in to the into that church that day. And at the end of the service, the man that was in charge of getting preachers to come, this man had him cornered. And I was wanting to tell that man something before I left. It got down to where it was just the three of us on the porch. This man... Basically, he got up there and he said, I went and I started a church up in Washington, D.C. We started out with five people. In just about 6 weeks, he said, we had 20 people. He said, in two more weeks, we had doubled in size. He said, then I started doing this work. And he said, it wasn't long till we had 100 people. When he got done, he said, I left there after about 4 years, and he said, I went to another place. And he said, I started a little group there. It had about 20-some-odd people. He said, it wasn't long till I had 40. And then it wasn't long till we had 100 again. And he said, I stayed there. Then he went back to a third place, and he'd done the same thing there. Where was God in all of that? Where was his praise of God? it is good for us to thank the Lord. It is good for us to sing praises unto God. It is good for us that we should bring the sacrifices of the heart to light. You want the verse to bring that out? You can go to Psalms 119, 108. That's not where I'm going right now. I'm going to give you another one here. We're going to Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Later on, you go back. You write that one down. Psalms 119, 108. You go back and look at that later. But listen to what he says here in Hebrews. Writer says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. You see, I want to get on this sacrifice. What is a sacrifice to you? Now, I realize that usually when we're in church, we're talking about the Mosaic law and them taking a sheep or a goat or a bullock or something like that, and they bring it up there and basically kill and pour the blood out and give that for a sacrifice. In our day, we kind of call our sacrifices the things that we do here upon this earth for the Lord. I'd say 9 out of 10 Christians says what goes in that box out there or in a plate somewhere, that's my sacrifice. I gave of what I gave. That reminds you a little bit of Cain's sacrifice, of what I've done. What is a sacrifice? It's something that we give back to God. Notice I said give back to God. When they sacrificed a lamb or a sheep or something like that, who gave them that? God did. God did. When that we are blessed with the goodness of God, we are to give that back to Him. At least a portion of it is what we're supposed to do. He says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. A sacrifice is something that we need to give to God even when it hurts. Brother Sam, in our lesson today, in our Sunday school lesson, he was talking about the lamb that they slayed for the blood to be put on the doorpost. And one thing that we don't bring out as preachers, and it came to me today while he was talking about it, he said they took that lamb and they killed it. Did you know they put that lamb up for 14 days? They nourished it. They took care of it for 14 days. I'm not a big animal person, but they some people, you can give them a pet for 14 days, and when they go to give that animal up, it's, oh, no! You let a child enjoy a pet for a little while. When it passes away, it's terrible. Now, you think if you had to give that as a sacrifice, it's something that we cherish, something that we hold dear to us. It's something that we just think, well, I really don't want to do this, but how do you know that the Spirit is leading you? There'll be something that will be fighting you all the way. You don't want to stand up before those people. You don't want to sing in front of them. You don't want to thank Him for saving your soul. You don't want to thank Him for His goodness. You don't want to thank Him for that. You don't want to tell them how the Lord blessed you this week. You don't want to do that, is what's going through your mind. I can't get there. I can't stand up. I can't look at them people. I can't have them looking at me. You know what? That ends up being a sacrifice of your lips. Just to say thank you. Just to say praise the Lord. He saved my soul. He said, once again, he said, therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. That is the fruits of our lips in giving thanks to his name, is what he says. It's a sacrifice that we make, that we are to enjoy giving. Now, I'm going to give you two reasons now, and I'm going to wind this up. I'm going to give you two reasons why it's important for us just to praise and glorify God. First reason. If you go over, and I turned to the wrong place, Psalms 40. Psalms 40. This is David's testimony, is basically what it is. And I'm not going to read the entire thing. I'm going to read the last part that we usually read as far as his testimony is concerned. Verse 3. He says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praises to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Why is it important for us to trust and praise the Lord? Brother Bill, like I said, he wore my message out. I done had it in. Lord done give it to me. But he wanted to talk about how this church used to praise God. He wanted to talk about how the people just praised God for salvation, how it worked on the sinners. He wanted to tell how that it just blessed people to hear about people being saved. He wanted to tell me about all of those things. Thank God for you. But what I'm trying to tell you is, when you tell people that you're saved, it puts something here. And then the Lord can take it from here to here. And when he gets it in here, and he starts wiggling around in there. And you know what it does? When you said something about being saved over here, and this one over here says about the same thing. You know, that person, the devil will take it and they'll say, well, never mind that. They don't know what they're talking about. Then this one over here verifies it. You know what happens when somebody else verifies it? Then that one does it. With each one of those going in here and going down here, it wiggles just a little bit more. And it pricks that heart of those sinners so much that they will believe and they will trust. You may not think so, but you know what? They'll believe you before they will me. Did you think about that? They believe you before they believe me. Why? Oh, don't take this. He's high and mighty. He's up there on the pulpit. He's a preacher. He knows all about it. But you are somebody like them. And they'll believe you when you confirm what comes out of this pulpit. That's the important reason why that you need to praise the Lord, glorify Him. Here's the other reason. I like this. I haven't went and watched the girls practice much in soccer. Paul's been going every time. But I've watched them play just about every time. And you know they got better with each game. How many of you has watched your kids or your grandkids or somebody like that playing ball, whether it's baseball, softball, football, whatever? How many of you has watched them? And the first time they got out there, Lord, they just ain't much. They're mine, but they're not much. Time you get up to the last game of the season, they're getting better. They're getting better at it. Time they get ready to quit, man, they've gotten good. They graduate. Don't get to watch them no more. When do we graduate? When we get to heaven. Hey, folks, you better be practicing for what's coming. You do. You need to be practicing for what's coming. In the seventh chapter of the book of Revelation, if you want to turn over there and read with me, start with verse 9. And he said this, and after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. You know what? Some of us was in that great multitude already. And I may be in that number that John saw. But he saw a great multitude. I might have been one little speck in that bunch. But I'm going to tell you, I was in that bunch right there. He said, after this I beheld a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, and stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, he said. And they cried with a loud voice, saying to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessings and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto God forever and ever. Amen. What was they doing? They was praising him. And he deserved every bit of it. They glorified him. Now, do you want to be good when you get there? Do you want to be one of those? Do you want to be one of those? Back a few years ago, they started a commercial. I apologize. But they started a commercial here a few years ago. And they said, they pointed out all of the millions of kids that played Little League ball. Said only one in so many hundreds of them would get to play high school ball. And they numbered how many of them. And they said, out of those in high school, only one in so many thousand would get to go on and play college ball. And then of those that play college ball, only one out of so many thousand of them would get to play in the minor leagues of baseball. And then out of them, only one, I think it was of 100 maybe, that got to play in a major league baseball game. They kept practicing until they was good enough to play in the major leagues. If you've been saved, you're going to the major leagues. How good do you want to be? How good do you want to be when you step up before the Lord? How good do you want to be at saying, thank you, dear God? How good do you want to be for saying, glory, hallelujah? How good do you want to be today for shouting his praises? How good do you want to be? That's my question today. He is worthy. Brother Chris, I'm done. How good do you want to be? Now's the time to practice. You're in the little leagues now. You know that? You're in the little leagues right now. You're starting out. Some of you are starters on that little league team. Some of you just been born into that into the family, got on the team, and you're trying to learn how to play. You're trying to learn how to praise. You're trying to learn how to say thank you. You're trying to learn how to, the more you practice it, the better you're going to be. And the more those people out there is going to believe you when you tell them. The more they're going to believe it. Brother Chris, that's going to be my message. While we stand and sing, I want us to praise the Lord today. Thank the Lord for that, Brother Chris.
Number 195.